Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for Tuesday, October 4th, 2016. The time right now is 7:01 p.m. Ms. Smith, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutaback, Hamford, Rasmussen, Davis, Camp, and Gamble.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp, will you please
lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on our agenda this evening is public hearing number one out of two. This is AB 16127, 2017 Budget Revenue Sources. Ms. Nelson.
This is all part of the budget process, and the budget process is spelled out of how local jurisdictions adopt their budget through RCWs, and one of the RCWs is the public hearing, allowing citizens to give any input they like on the possible revenue sources for the upcoming year. Another part of it is that I am required to give you a report on the revenues of the current year, 2016, that have come in and how we estimate they will be at the end of this year as compared to the budget. And so I'm going to quick talk to you about the revenues. In your packet is a little revenue report with a cover sheet. And the good news is that there's we're coming right in on budget on just about everything. When it comes to budgeting, no news is good news. We don't have any surprises, which is really nice. And this is the first year that I haven't stood here and gone, things are awful, things are terrible. We are actually doing it okay. And so, but cautiously okay. And, So I just wanted to point out the pie chart on page two shows how the revenues were budgeted for the year. As you can see, for 2016, we are a sales tax city. That's our bread and butter. Next comes the property tax and utility tax. Those are the other two portions that, those are our three main revenue sources that we monitor very carefully. After that come charges for services. These are like zoning fees and air fund services, and then licenses, permits, and other taxes. And then there's small grants and fines and penalties, and those really small categories. Yes, you can see in the bar chart at the bottom of page two, there are three biggies, the three big tax revenues. They're all coming in right at budget, maybe a little bit better than budget, which is exactly the way we want it to play out. So we're feeling pretty good of the way 2016 is going. And I just know me saying this, that all of a sudden something terrible is going to happen in the last few months. I'm probably jinxing myself. So then on page three are the top bar chart of real estate excise taxes. This indicates the economic activity going on in the city, and it's an indicator of economic activity to come, because we collect this tax whenever property is bought and sold. And it's hard to guess how much property is going to be bought and sold. We thought we were being optimistically conservative with $500,000, and we are expecting to come in at about $800,000. So it's way better than we're coming out of recession. It's way better than what we thought. So that's the good news. And once property is bought and sold, it's expected that it will be developed, or it's also people selling their homes, hopefully to move up to a bigger home. You know, it's just the turnover of real estate, and that usually generates more economic activity for our city. Down below, the line graph with the utilities, they're just right spot on with the budget. They're acting, what we estimated is exactly what they're doing. There's not much really to say, and I really like it, but there's not much to say. So that means if I don't have to do any explaining, then we're good. The fourth page is a summary of each fund. And what you really like to see are the 100%. Anything 100% or more in that percentage column compared to budget, that's what you want to see. And it's looking pretty darn good. Donation fund, that's a small fund, and you're just guessing on donations. So, you know, that's all right, but it's not that big. Capital project fund, we didn't budget any revenue, but that's interest income that's come in, that $2,400. The one that stands out probably most is stormwater CIP over on the right side of the page. Originally in the budget, we had budgeted to issue bonds. Then when this report was done, we had decided, no, we're not going to issue bonds. And since this report was done, we have decided, yes, we're going to issue the bonds. So this is that ending balance of $6,726 is actually incorrect. It will be closer to the budget amount because we are going to issue the bond. Well, we're hoping that you will approve the bonds before the end of the year when they're brought to you. And so that's the only one that's really off. The following pages are all the detail line items of every single revenue line item that the city receives. And that's everything that I have to say. If you have any questions about the revenues, please ask me, and then we can proceed with the public hearing for citizen input for the 2017 budget revenues.
Okay. Council members, do you have any questions before we move on to citizen testimony? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak to the City Council on this public hearing item? There's nobody who has signed up. There's nobody in the audience except for Chris. Chris?
Yes.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Move to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second. We have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Hanford to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Anything further from council? Okay, is there a motion to close the public hearing? Councilmember Cutterback.
Make a motion to move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback and a second from Councilmember Camp to close the public hearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Next item that we have on the agenda this evening is public hearing number 2. This is AB 16128, extension of East Monroe Interim Zoning Ordinance number 016-2016 for first reading. Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, as you all know, last April the hearings board invalidated two ordinances related to the comprehensive plan amendment and the rezone ordinance for East Monroe. One of the ways the city responded to that is on May 3rd, the city passed an interim zoning ordinance, Ordinance 003-2016. And what that ordinance did was clearly acknowledge and reaffirm that the city recognizes that during the remand period, the city acknowledges the zoning of the East Monroe property as limited open space. Now, an interim zoning ordinance requires a public hearing. That public hearing was held in June. The interim zoning ordinance was effective for 6 months, which means it expires November 3rd unless it's terminated before then or unless it's extended. And the purpose of tonight's public hearing is to consider an ordinance that would extend for an additional 6 month period the interim zoning of limited open space for the East Monroe properties. So the requested action would be to take public testimony, if any, and then following that, pass the first reading, ordinance number 016-2016, which is in your package. That would extend, again, the limited open space designation for the East Monroe properties for 6 months, extension from November 3rd for an additional 6 months. As you know, the church has challenged the hearing court decision that was scheduled to go to Superior Court. Is bypassing Superior Court now, excuse me, and that judicial appeal is going to be heard before the Court of Appeals. I believe as of a couple of weeks ago, our compliance deadline before the hearings board was September 28th. The Court of Appeals has extended that for the duration of the judicial appeal before that body. So again, the recommendation is take public testimony and to pass the ordinance that's in your packet. And I will just mention that we did, besides the typical notification of in the paper and posting the public hearing tonight, we did notify the church, its representatives, as well as all the individuals that were involved in the Growth Management Hearings Board appeal of tonight's public hearing. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions or clarification from council? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing. Is there anybody that would like to come forward this evening to provide public testimony on this item? Okay, seeing none. Councilmember Hanford?
I move to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Any discussion, Council? Councilmember Hanford?
I move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to close the public hearing from Councilmember Hanford with a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Anything further, Council? Councilmember Hanford?
I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 016-2016, extending for an additional six-month period interim zoning adopted May 3rd, 2016, under ordinance number 003-2016, formally expressing the City Council's acknowledgement and intent regarding the continued designation of the East Monroe area as limited open space following the Growth Management Hearings Board's decision in CPS GMHP case number 14-3-0006C, adopting findings, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. The motion is what is listed as requested action C in Agenda Bill 16128. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. We're going to go ahead and move on to the comments from citizens portion of our agenda. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. There is a sign-in sheet. Nobody has signed in. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak this evening to the City Council? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Oh, consent.
Okay, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, Councilmember Rasmussen has moved to approve the consent agenda. A second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next item is new business item number one. This is related to MMC 2.26, term limits for elected officials / at-large position. I believe that this is Mr. Brazel. Mr. Brazel.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is more of a housekeeping matter that we want to talk to Council about this evening. As we're reviewing our operations, the city operations, we noticed that the way our council seating is set up is different than the majority of the cities throughout the state of Washington that are structured like Monroe. Our existing structure has been in place, I believe, for right around 31 years, and the RCW contemplates that it would be the majority of the council members and the mayor's seat that would be up, so it would be five positions in 1 year, and then the next round would be the additional three council members. So we looked into it. I went ahead and pulled the history on, the staff actually and myself, we went through reams and reams of paper trying to figure out how this was established back in the 80s. And Attorney Lell did some research and is here this evening to kind of talk about his findings. And I also included in the council packet the term limits and how they're currently set up, including the information that went to the voters for the advisory vote. So that is all in your packet this evening, and I will turn it over to Attorney Lell at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Brazel. At the staff's request, my office did look into this issue surrounding the City of Monroe's two-year at-large council position, and based on our review of the historical documents, which may or may not be a complete picture, and our review of the law that governed the city at the time that the change was made from a third-class code city to a or through Class City to a code city back in 1985. It appears that this two-year position is essentially a historical vestige of a form of government that no longer exists in Washington, which is a third-class city. That classification was abolished by the state legislature, I believe, in the early 90s. So we're kind of left with an anomaly on our books that staff has asked about what the appropriate mechanism would be to change that. And as the council is aware from the memo presented to you a few weeks ago, there isn't really a lot of explicit state law guidance on this point. The RCW, as I construe it, doesn't ever contemplate that a city will be in this precise situation. However, we can, by analogy, point to other sections of the state law as to what the model really should be, and that is that the city should realistically have 7 4-year council seats. And the question then becomes, how do you change a 2-year seat to a 4-year one? Well, again, in the absence of any express guidance from the state law, what we're recommending is the adoption of an ordinance that makes the change, and then forwarding a copy of that off to the county elections office well enough in advance of the next election cycle for the position to be properly advertised and incorporated into the county's election materials. With respect to the timing of the election, again, there isn't really an express statutory provision I'm aware of that governs this, but the most analogous provisions of state law do contemplate that the mayor will be elected simultaneously with 4 of the council members, and that the other 3 council members will be elected at the next 2-year election cycle. So what the state law, I believe, contemplates is a 4-1 arrangement with the other 3 council members up for election in the following 2-year period. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the council may have on that point, and I understand there's also going to be a discussion specific to term limits, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that the council would have on that as well.
Council members, any questions so far? Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. A few of them, having read the documentation. First off, is there any impact from this from the state? By essentially, we're out of compliance in terms of what the definition for our government set up, right? So is there any impact whatsoever?
Council, I think it's hard to kind of speculate as to what an impact could be. I will state the obvious, that the city has operated with this kind of orphaned 2-year term, right or wrong, for the past 31 years,
right,
since 1985, and there really hasn't been a consequence in that period. It's hard for me to envision a calamitous effect one way or the other. This, again, was sent to my office as essentially a housekeeping request. And I'm also aware, anecdotally, that another Snohomish County city recently went through this process after learning that their 2-year position was essentially a historical anomaly, and they followed a process to rectify that, very similar to what staff and I are recommending for the city.
Okay. The pattern of 4-1 versus a 3-1, or 3-1 mayor and 3 positions, right? Reading over the documentation that was sent, it looked like they were trying to make sure that they had a mayor and a majority of council elected at the same time as sort of really starting this government, or that particular changeover in the code. Is there anything that would prevent us from going to a 3-1 and then having essentially 4 elections every 2 years?
Again, Council, this isn't a situation, in my opinion, that the state law contemplates that we'd be in.
Mm-hmm.
So my understanding, based on staff's direction, is to find a path to essentially bring the city's 2-year position as much as possible into compliance with what classifications of cities like Monroe currently provide for in their governing statutes. And there really isn't a situation that Monroe Monroe currently is faced with that the RCW calls out. The most analogous situation is when a city reorganizes in the first instance, as I think you put it, it's basically starting from scratch. And in that context, when you are starting from a blank slate, the law does contemplate that there will be a 4-1 and then 3 approach, with the mayor being elected simultaneously with 4 of the council members and the other 3 on the off cycle. Again, I'm aware of some other cities that have a different staggering, but it seems from our informal survey that the great majority of similarly situated municipalities in Washington follow the statutory model.
Okay. My last question is timeliness. First, I want to say how much I appreciate the effort into finding out these answers. I went reading over the documentation. I was impressed with what you were able to pull out of it.
Thank you.
We've been doing this for 31 years. And your recommendation is to take it forward, so we are making the changes effective next year. And I know that's going to get into some term limit issues. 31 years versus 35 years, again, is there any impact if we were to move this out 4 years, allow additional time for two-year positions to sort of settle themselves out naturally, or not?
That's really more of a policy question, Council. Again, the practical overlay for this entire discussion is that you've been operating under your current form for 31 years,
right?
Apparently without incident. And the only point that I would perhaps add to that discussion is that the proverbial cat is now out of the bag. This has been brought to the city's attention, and everyone is aware of it. I don't foresee a hugely calamitous consequence one way or the other, and I would be, I think, remiss in performing my job as city attorney by giving you risk advice in open session. I'd be happy to discuss that with you at sidebar, provide an attorney-client memo, or perhaps discuss it with less than a quorum, if that's your preference. But the short answer is that I just don't see a huge consequence one way or the other.
Thank you. And again, thank you for all the hard work on this.
Happy to help.
I'd like to hear other people's opinions. That's all I've got right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Is there an opportunity to talk about this in executive session? I'm finding a way to go through coming up with an answer before trying to ferret through everything Zach has said.
That goes to issues of legal risk and whatnot. So, Mr. Well?
I'm not asking to vote on anything. I'm just asking to discuss.
Council, in my opinion, I don't believe that this rises to the level of an executive session. I don't think at this stage it would be appropriate to rely on the legal risk or potential litigation exemption to the OPMA for that purpose. In my opinion, this is appropriately discussed in open session as a basic governance issue.
Councilmember Cutterback.
This is a separate question, but I had a community member bring it up about districting, and would this be the same process, the mayor in 4 and 3, if we were to set up districts at all in our city?
Council, districting was more or less outside the scope of what I anticipated to discuss tonight. I'm very happy to come back at a future meeting and provide a more definitive answer for that. The RCW does specify a process and standards for that issue. I'm just not prepared to discuss it tonight. The short answer is that there is something in state law that addresses that directly.
Okay. Just, I remember last election when it was brought up, we had a couple downtown people comment that we didn't have people representing downtown on the council who live downtown, so it was brought up in the last election, and I had a community member mention that moving forward, something possibly to look at would be having 3, like the city district 3, and you could have someone elected from each district and 4 at-large members, so a broader representation from the city. In the past, having this discussion and realizing that Monroe didn't seem big enough to have it completely districted, and then might be a struggle getting people to run in those, it was thought about, well, could you do 3 districts and then have 4 at-large? And so it was a little bit more spread out. So I know that doesn't But if we're looking at possibly changing things, it might be a good time to have that discussion if it makes sense. And as far as how did this come up? Maybe that's for Mr. Brazel. How did this come up?
Yeah. So I mean, plainly stated, I was talking to somebody brought it to my attention when they were reviewing, when they were just glancing through the list of positions that were open last year during the declaration period, and realized that we had a two-year seat. He was a former council member with the City of Arlington.
Okay.
And the City of Arlington had just gone through a process of changing their two-year seat to a four-year seat. So it was just one of those things where somebody that I work with in my other capacity noticed it and brought it to my attention. And since we're already in declaration week, there wasn't anything we could do about it. So I brought it forward to staff to just say, hey, if there is a problem, know about it. And in addition to all the research, I mean, I want to, my hat's off to both Gene and also to Liz. In addition to our legal team looking over the material, Liz did a lot of archival work, and so did Gene, to drill down on what happened. So that is, you know, that's what transpired, and it was actually a year and a half ago during that last declaration period.
Yeah, it no matter what we do, I think, even if we choose not to move forward, it would seem like the two-year position, it's not an at-large position. We're all at-large positions, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a misnomer to call the two-year seat an at-large position. So moving forward, no matter what we do, I would suggest we don't. So that's it for now.
Okay, thank you. Zach, did you have anything?
Just that I did locate the provision of the RCW that governs the optional division of a city of Monroe's type into wards. It's RCW 35A12180, and I'm happy to discuss the mechanics of that with you or staff at any other time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
I would like to address Jim's comment and ask him if I understand your comment.
Mm-hmm.
Your suggestion is that we go forward as we are for about four more years before we change the two-year position. In that, this election coming a year from now, if we changed it, would not allow Kevin to put in for a position since he's already six. And if I would be elected to a four because it's changed, could only get six and not get eight. If we went one more election out,
two more,
where I would be at six,
mm-hmm.
or I would be at four, and Kevin would be at 10 or at eight, and then make the 2 year or 4 year, would that even things up? Is that your point?
If I can answer your question, if you'll apply it. My understanding would be if we kept things as they were for the next two election cycles, and we'll just use you two because you're the ones on council who are affected by it, Mr. Hanford would be able to, assuming he gets reelected, again,
yeah.
Someone else could run and get
sure.
elected. What it really does, it opens up the... it allows to settle out any potential impacts as they stand right now. If someone else were to run for the two-year seat, they would know that they are limited, that they may not get a full eight-year term or eight-year service if things change in 4 years. Right now, you both took on the responsibility of a two-year seat, not knowing that something like this was going to occur. So had it not... Had you known, you may have gone to a four-year seat instead of trying to go for the two. I just thought this would allow time to settle things out, come to a better decision, and not try to get something completed in the next election cycle. The other point is, because I saw the term limits, I thought there might be some discussion on term limits. And one and this is going a little bit off your topic, but at the time of the term limits, we had an advisory vote. They came back at 75% in favor of it. And I know there's been some discussion on what did that really mean? How did we, you know, how do we read the tea leaves and come up with what the people really intended? What I was thinking is, if we do modify term limits to accommodate this issue, that we really should go back to an advisory vote and say this will present it to the people of Monroe and find out what they would like. Do they want some sort of a modification? Do they want to take out term limits entirely? I don't know. Which, to me, would imply that we'd have some additional costs, and I don't know who would have the answer, but I believe that we could have an election or a vote next February.
Sounds about true? Right.
Okay. So we'd have an additional referendum or advisory vote that we'd have to put on the ballot, and I don't know how much that costs us. But it would cost us some money, right? Okay, that's, I'm getting head nod, so yeah. So this, just sending it out for an additional 4 years, I don't think it's going to have that big of an impact. We've been doing this for 31, 35 doesn't make that big of a difference, I think. And it allows things to naturally settle out. Again, it comes back, if there is some question about the term limit, it can be addressed at a normal voting time, so we don't have to have a special referendum on it, which I don't think is necessary. Did I answer it?
Councilmember Scarborough, you still have the floor.
Yeah, it does. And I had proposed a solution through Gene, and I'll discuss it sidebar with Seth and see if that helps the solution for our problem. But I don't want to throw it out on the floor.
Okay, anything further, Councilmember Scarborough? Okay, Councilmember Gamble.
I don't think it naturally settles it out if we just say, hey, we're going to run, because if somebody else wins that 2-year seat,
that's
then you go right back. You go right back in it. So what I would contend is that if we want to, you know, to your point that you made about, hey, when they ran, they didn't, you know, they didn't know that this 2-year thing was a deal, is that I would be much more in line on adjusting our ordinance around the term limits. Term limits are entirely a Monroe thing. It's not a state thing. So we adjust for the 2 sitting members that are there. From an advisory vote perspective, just for that, I don't see that. That doesn't make sense to me, because you're not, you know, that would just be tweaking so that those that are sitting, that, you know, the opportunity to run, that's what I had underlined. They're looking for that opportunity to run to fill their, you know, their 8 years. They did not know that they weren't going to have that opportunity by filling a 2-year seat. Because of this, you make a change, we would address it in here. And that's a separate issue than, hey, if we want to talk about, you know, overall term limits, then, you know, we'll have at it. But as far as taking care of the 2 serving, I would just see that we would make an amendment to the current ordinance that's on that would address that specifically for those 2 council members that are sitting and move forward.
Okay.
And that change would be what, if I may ask?
Basically, that we would, there's 2 members that this affects.
Yes.
That are currently sitting. You, Councilmember Scarborough, and Councilmember Hanford, right? Now, all we're saying is opportunity. The way I would phrase it is opportunity to run, right? Because that's all you're asking for. There's no guarantee of anybody getting elected. So it would just be, you know, an addendum into, you know, where it talks about for certain issues, if you're appointed or whatever the case may be, that would just be for those that were elected in the 2-year period that has been since modified due to state, you know, law, such and such, such and such, will have the opportunity to run to fill, you know, upwards to, what would it be, a 10-year? Would it be 10 years? Yeah, exactly. And then that would be it. It would become effective that 4, and then 8 years going forward would be effective on this next election.
Okay. Anything further, Councilmember Gamble?
I'm good.
All right. Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
If I may respond.
Sure, go ahead.
To that part of it. This came up in the legislative committee. We talked about this. One of the points was whether or not, essentially, fairness, allowing people to have the opportunity to serve upwards of 8 years or more. One of the considerations, and I'll have to yield to the city attorney because I'm not an attorney, would be expanding fairness for the 2 council members and expanding that to anyone who has potential capability of getting elected to the two-year seat and carrying that out the additional 2 years and going beyond the term limit. I don't know if that was, if we could expand it or not.
And I'd have to ask if I could respectfully, Councilmember, to rephrase the question.
If we have two members who are really affected by this particular issue, if there is someone else in the city who is impacted, I was thinking in terms of another council member who is term limited, and if they came back and said, well, I want to run for that two-year seat so I can have the 10 years, if that would have to be a consideration, which is the only place that I would see a possible problem. But I don't know.
So whenever the council drafts any legislation, including the term limits ordinance and any amendments to that, mm-hmm. it obviously can't call out individual council members or people or even groups. It has to make classifications.
Right.
And whatever restrictions, provisions that you originally adopt and may amend in the future have to actually be facially neutral in that way. They have to be broadly applicable to people within that particular classification. As a practical matter, there very well may be only two or three or four people that might ultimately fall within that classification, but as long as the ordinance doesn't call those individuals out, I believe that you're on the right side of the law. You have lots of latitude in this context because, again, state law doesn't require term limits in the first instance. To the extent that the city has adopted them, that's entirely, you know, local policy preference of the city of Monroe that you can change and that you can modify going forward.
So if it is doable, if we could set it up so that the two current holders of the two-year seats who have the issue, if we can tweak it accordingly without calling them specifically out, then we could do that. That would be fine.
I believe so. Again, it'd be very important to be crystal clear in the ordinance and in the recitals to the ordinance that every conceivable person within that larger classification would be entitled to the same treatment as the individuals you're referring to. But as long as you're not specifying those people, you're not engaging in impermissible special legislation. You're legislating broadly as state law requires you to do.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
So I'm looking through this. This is the first time I've kind of looked through the information. I think it's our responsibility to get in compliance with the state law, and if we're the third class city was abolished, that we need to work towards that. So I think it's important once we become known of this that we move in that direction. I'm not necessarily in favor of drafting an ordinance that makes exceptions, or, you know, I think we open a can of worms. We probably obviously have to be very careful about that. So for me, moving forward, it would be getting in compliance with the state law now that we know of it. From there, it seems to me we have a couple options. We had an advisory vote for term limits. The 8 years was, I think, picked 8 years. I'm not sure how that number came about. I think somebody has a understanding. I was there, but the 8 years. So I understand giving people the option to run, and it's certainly never been a policy that I've thought of constricting somebody's ability to run, especially people who want to serve. So in my mind, we have to get in compliance. We have to move our city towards, you know, complying. And if the third class city is gone, we need to move our classification towards that. So the two options are get rid of term limits completely or look at changing them to be possibly 12 years, which is more in line with what the county does. The county does 12 years. Most cities don't have term limits for the very reason of not having a barrier to people running. Let the public make that decision. The advisory vote that was taken obviously was heavily in favor of term limits, and I wouldn't suspect that if we did another advisory vote it would change. People, when they hear term limits, most people think that's a good idea because they think of the national, and and the entrenchment and the power that comes with being on the national level. If you looked at the statistics for our city, we have not had a problem with voting out sitting council members or sitting mayors. There hasn't been a problem with entrenchment of sitting council members for long, long periods of time. So when we looked at the data, when we looked at this, the data supported we really didn't need term limits. We put out the advisory vote. People, when they hear term limits, I think they think, sounds like a great idea, let's limit that. But in my opinion, the need was never there. So this has come before us, it's become known to us. I think we have a responsibility to act, and I think we have a responsibility to act where we're not making exceptions or looking at specific situations, but just looking at general, we have to get in compliance. And then looking separately at term limits, keeping it, and that unfortunately then limits some people's ability to run in the next election. Changing it to 12 years, which then solves the issue that you were talking about, or, you know, getting rid of them totally and you know, not having them. I'm not in favor of necessarily going to an advisory vote again and spending that money in February, because I think the result would be the same. I really do. Unless we got out and really educated the public on, here's the data, here's what our city faces, here's what other cities do, and really educated the public on making an informed decision about advisory votes. So that's all I have to say right now.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes. So when we first talked about this in committee, my first response was exactly what Councilmember Gamble said, which was just to add, if I can elaborate, add letter E under term limits for city council members, and just the one line addendum, like you said, which would alleviate all the problems, and I don't think that that would be a very hard thing for our attorney to write up and do at all. And that would take care of, that would give the opportunity for Councilmember Scrabble and I to run again for office. And then if we did that, then this coming year we could just, the election for the 2-year seat would be gone. It would become a 4-year seat. And so we would be solving all the issues coming into compliance, or I don't know if it's compliance, but becoming like everyone else and ending our 31-year run. So that was my first thought on the easiest way to fix that. So that would be my preference. As far as term limits and expanding more than the 8 years that we already have, and changing what we've already laid out, I don't know if we would need to do a vote, but I would definitely want to have lots of public hearings and have, because they've already spoken in 2011, and so I would want there to be lots of notice, lots of publicity, if we're going to even go down that road, so the public can weigh in again now 5 years later and see if they have changed their mind.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Councilmember Scarborough.
So, I understand, are you advocating for 10, you're advocating for 12-year limit without having to go to an advisory board, and you're saying we can accomplish the fairness in a 10-year limit?
I'm saying that the easiest way to fix this, to give us the opportunity to run again, is to make a letter E, and that would be the another exception. How it says a person who was served but then appointed can fill it. So it would say something like a person who has served a 2-year term can then
do two floors.
Consecutive term, or some legal way to word it, so that obviously it's going to fit what we need, mm-hmm. can fulfill that.
Yeah. So. Anything further? Well. Councilmember Scarborough? Okay.
Well, I was going to say, I'm not in favor of term limits.
Okay.
So, I mean, I never have been.
Advisory board 12
was a way of keeping the term limits in place, solving that issue without not making it for a few people in particular, but still adhering to term limits if that's what the public, the 8 years from what I remember was just, there was no evidence to back up 8 years, and then 8 years out, you know, there, it was arbitrary. Not sure where it came from. So that's what I was saying.
Anything further, Councilmember Scarborough? Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I guess if you're looking for opinions, mine's simply just priority one is to get ourselves in compliance with the state in regards to the two-year position. Focus down that. I understand that term limits has to come into play because of the a couple of seats are currently being gone right now, and best solution, I have no idea. I mean, to be honest, it would be nice to whichever route, clean, easy as possible. So, and that's where I kind of look to our attorney on that, what's going to give us the cleanest routes, and go from there. But I don't mind, going up to a 12-year, 10-year, and whatever, even if the, as Councilmember Hanford suggested, letter E on our policy, whatever. Once I see it and I feel it's clean and easy, then easy to understand, then I'm good.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Davis?
So I think that in light of the knowledge that we're not correct, we need to fix that. That's our duty. And that's what we need to do immediately or as soon as possible. Term limits is something we can talk about and work out to fit what we need. I personally, I agree with what you said, Councilmember Cutterback. Maybe public opinion and find out what, have a few meetings and all, find out what they think. But I don't think it's that critical in 8 years. I don't know where that came from either, so, and I don't know why that's so important. But I'd be willing to look at that and look at it from that perspective. But we have time to do something with that. What we don't really have time to do with is sit around and not fix what we now know is wrong or broke. So I see that as our duty to do right away, and then move on with the other, mm-hmm. work out something. So,
okay.
Thank you.
So, I think I'm hearing consensus for me to direct staff to bring forward an ordinance that would have the 2-year seat become a 4-year seat, effective with this next election. Does anybody disagree with what I just said? If the answer is yes, then I'll ask for a motion directing me and staff to put that together. Okay, Councilmember Camp?
I would expand that. Ask the city attorney to come up with an option E so we can see what it would look like.
Okay, an option
E.
So I'm clear, Council. That is to amend the city's current term limits ordinance to add a subsection E.
Okay.
Oh, so
that's fine.
That's what he's asking.
Okay. Yeah. What I'm doing is I'm bifurcating the issue because there are two issues. Exactly. While they're
we're not going to deal with it.
No, not there yet.
Yeah.
Not there yet.
Yes.
So the. obviously, for some council members, the two issues are intertwined. Mm-hmm. For some council members, the two issues are distinctly separate. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to divide the question, if you will. Mm-hmm. Some council members may want to have them joined together. Some council members may just want to dispense with them as separate policy considerations. So what I'm looking for is direction, or at least an understanding from consensus, that I would direct staff to bring forward an ordinance that would convert from 2 to 4 years that at-large position. I would then go ahead, my plan then is then to ask you what you would like to do with term limits, to see if I can get consensus or direction on that tonight, so that we might start either putting together an ordinance or doing the research or what have you. One of the concerns that I have, it being October, and I know this, you know, the declaration period for this next election will be in May, is that my preference would be to have a decision made before the end of this year, so that a decision is not being made by the council within the election year, and certainly with a short period of notice coming up to the declaration period in May. That's all. It just, to me, it gives, you don't have a last minute decision by the council in April, when we need to notify the auditor's office probably at the end of April or so as to what to advertise. It gives people a very short period of time to know whether or not it's a 2-year seat or a 4-year seat, or what the term limits are and all that other stuff. I think it's good to give a little bit more notice. So that's all I'm looking for. I want to see if there's interest to bifurcate the issue and then come back and talk about term limits this evening, just so that I can give direction to staff. Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
So just to be clear, since this affects me directly, I'm in favor of doing exactly what you said, moving ahead and changing it to a 4-year position.
Okay.
And then tackling term limits as a separate thing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you.
Second.
I'm in agreement with that.
Okay, so I can go ahead and take that as consensus. I'm going to give direction to staff, unless there's objection. I'm going to give direction to staff to prepare an ordinance to convert the 2-year seat to a 4-year seat. Now, for the term limits, that takes care of issue number one. For the term limits, is there anything that council would like regarding term limits? We can bring this back for another discussion. Thoughts on how to proceed with term limits? And again, I can always schedule it for another discussion a couple weeks out, too, so that everybody can think about that and we can talk about it, too. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I mean, I heard several different ideas that we probably should explore and talk about. The one was, if you were to, what Councilman Hanford said, that, you know, and then there's the thought of that Councilmember Cuddleback brought up, which I thought was a good idea, too, that would make it so it wouldn't just be for those that are sitting, but for anybody that may be affected by it, which would just be changing it to a 12 or a, you know, a year where it accommodates everything. And then there's the option of not doing anything, leaving it as it is, and those would be mm-hmm. affected would be affected. And then there's the option of abolishing them and just using what is already term limits, which is the voting process. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think my bias came out there.
And then there would also be the 12-year...
said that.
Okay, perfect. So let's see what other council members say also, but that is the range of items that I understood too.
Yeah.
So.
I think you're right, though. I think it should be a more of a focused discussion on that.
Okay, sounds good. Councilmember Scarborough. Oh, Scarborough, you clicked out. So Councilmember Cuddleback.
I agree. Those are that's the range for me, and I also agree with Councilmember Hanford that if we are going to have discussion around that, looking at changing it possibly, that we have some public hearing time and see what the public has to say of it. And again, I'm ambivalent or not really in favor of doing another advisory vote, because I do think that would not probably give us any different information that we'll prepare. But it would be curious if we did advisory vote for 12 years. I bet that would come back early too. So that's where my thought of changing it to 12 to satisfy what we have going on. Because I think if we put out advisory vote at 12 years, we'd get 70% favorable result again with that also. So But I agree that we should have some public comment time as we continue the discussion.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I would agree with you. But the fact that it was 75% in favor, they specifically said 8 years with an 8 year
hiatus
before someone could run again. It was so specific. That's what makes me really leery about going out and trying to do public hearings or something, that we went to the full force of an advisory vote to get the opinion of the people, which is one of the things we always try to do here, is get as much information from the public as we can. And you really can't go any more in depth in terms of the opinion of the people with a vote. I agree with you. I think if we went to 12 years, people would probably approve it. I don't see a problem with that. And just for the record, because I did initially have an opinion about it, I am against term limits, but I am opposed to just changing something where 75% of the people feel it's necessary. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
If you went to 12, would we talk about it if we went to 12, even 11? Would that 8 year hiatus stay in effect for somebody who had been, who was only at 8 years, to come back and say, I didn't get my 12, I want to run for four more? Or would they still have to wait that 8 year hiatus to come back, be reelected, and then they could spend 12?
Okay, so one of the things that I'm going to try to do this evening is just sort of identify the range of information that we'll go ahead and bring back at a future meeting. And I think at that point in time, Councilmember Scarborough would go ahead and have a more robust conversation about those options.
Okay.
So what we'll have staff do then is we will draft up some sample language for the exception for sitting. That's E. Draft up some language for E alternate. There was a second E that you were talking about. Sigma. Obviously, do nothing will be listed as an alternative. Repeal the term limits will be one thing that we'll just have at least bulleted. The 12 years is one that we'll have bulleted. Is there any additional information that council members would like when staff brings the additional material forward?
Cost of the advisory vote, just in case.
Okay, cost of the advisory vote. Councilmember Cutterback, you were saying that most cities do not have term limits. Did you want us to bring back a survey of cities with term limits and what they are, or?
Well, I mean, that's if council is even, I didn't get a sense that council would be interested in possibly not having term limits. When we first looked at that information, we looked at the length of council members' term of office in here to look at, is this a problem? Are people staying in office for long periods of time? And, you know, it really was determined it wasn't a problem. And then we did look at what other cities had, and very, very few, if any, cities in our area likewise have, I like your smile, have term limits. Snohomish County Council has a 12-year term limit. But again, so if we're interested, I am interested in having the discussion again if council is, so I think that information is important.
So what we'll do, staff, if it makes sense, so what I'm understanding then is we will go ahead and resurrect the old information, we'll go ahead and update it for current, and we'll have that material in the packet also. All right, is there anything else that council would like to inform the next conversation? All right. So when we get to the extended agenda, we'll go ahead and put that together. We're probably looking at a couple weeks just to pull the information together, so this won't be on for next week, but probably 2, 3, 4 weeks out, and we'll talk about that when we get to the extended agenda. Okay? Thank you all very much. All right. Next item on our agenda this evening is new business item number 2. This is AB 16-131. And Mr. Feilberg, you're doing the presentation. This is Lodging Tax Advisory Committee. Go for it.
Annually, by state law, we are required to appoint the members of the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee. This year, it's taken us a while to find it. the second member from the hotel industry. So we have done it now, so we have two people, members from the hotel industry, two members from the tourism promotion area, and then the mayor or some other elected official can be on the fifth member of the committee. This year, we are requesting to be filled by the following people: Mayor Jeffrey Thomas, Bridget Hell, board member of the Minnow Chamber of Commerce, and Doug Hobbs from Highway Promotions would be representing the tourism promotion side, and Lisa Martin, the manager of Best Western, and Bill Shin from Evergreen Inn and Suites would be representing the hoteliers. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
And the tentative schedule that's shown there, just for clarification there, that one of the first things the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee does is it establishes the schedule for applications, review, and everything. Just an item to note. And last year we had the executive director, and I think the previous year is the executive director for the Chamber of Commerce served. This year it's a board member. I think it made sense to have a board member serve in that capacity rather than a staff member. So anyway, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Make a motion to appoint Jeffrey Thomas, Doug Hobbs, Lisa Martin, Bill Shin, and Bridget Tuttle to the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee for the term of July 1, 2016 to June 30th, 2017.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Camp to move to appoint Jeffrey Thomas, Doug Hobbs, Lisa Martin, Bill Shin, and Bridget Tuttle to the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee for the term of July 1st, 2016 to June 30th, 2017. Discussion on the topic. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. How often do they meet?
We will meet approximately four times. And
also in line with the awards?
Yes, sir.
Schedule that you have below. Okay, that's all.
Okay, thank you. Anything further? Okay, we'll go ahead and move to vote. All those in favor saying aye.
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 All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. So we'll move on to the next item on the agenda this evening. This is council member reports. There are no committee reports this evening, so we'll go ahead and go down the line. Councilmember Gimble.
I'm good.
Okay. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. First, I saw the lights over at Lake Tai as I was speaking with Councilmember Gamble. It was interesting to watch the practice for a little while. Second thing is, I asked about having bioswill discussion, and I don't see it. I don't think I got a second from another council member.
We'll put it on the agenda. Yeah.
That was the only concern.
Yeah, so it's not on the agenda. It was just an oversight. We'll have that added to the agenda.
Okay. That's great. I think that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Davis.
The only thing is that I will not be here next week.
Okay. Noted. Councilmember Davis will not be here next week. What's that?
I have work duties.
You have work duties. Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Davis. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Nothing tonight.
All right. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Nothing tonight.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Whoa. I just had one question.
Oh, no.
Where are the lights downtown? Where are we with that project?
What's the status of the lights downtown? We've applied for a grant, and
we applied for a grant. Well, the Downtown Monroe Association actually applied for a grant. There's Peach Sound Energy. Their closing deadline was October 1.
Okay.
So I'm sure they're still being evaluated. It's beginning to be evaluated now.
Okay.
Other than that, I have nothing else.
Okay, thank you. We'll go out to staff. Mike, Councilmember Farrell. Mr. Farrell.
Got demoted.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Well, this Saturday is Harvest Festival, Lake Tai. That's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There'll be all kinds of fun and good stuff for villages, and it's free to attend. And the other thing I wanted to mentioned is I was wanting to get back to Councilmember Cutterback asked about the Fair Fest 3-on-3 tournament.
Oh yeah, the basketball.
That was held at the fair. And I got feedback from the Snohomish County Fairgrounds staff on the basketball tournament, how it did for them, and they thought it was definitely successful in its first year. And they we're asking for soliciting feedback from the participants. And so the feedback, the questions they asked were overall thoughts and feedback of the tournament. Did they feel the price of the tournament was good for what they received? Would they participate in the tournament again? If they weren't participating in the tournament, would they have come to the fair this year? And they thought it was great turnout, and to see it getting bigger and bigger every year was the feedback. I think it's a great deal. The participants received gate admission to the fair, a t-shirt, and 3 games minimum for the tournament. And several people, yeah, it's what brought them to the fair. So it was another one. So it was from the fair's perspective too, they definitely would support the return to that. So I believe it was 1 to 200 folks, I think, were in that first year that they expected to grow. So.
Okay. Thanks for getting back on that.
That's it.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Farrell? All right, seeing none. Ms. Nelson?
Nothing to that.
Any questions for finance? Please note that I think your job announcement for the finance director, did that go out yesterday?
I do not know.
We do not know. Ben's not here.
How much longer do you have, Diane?
How many days now? Hours.
She's got an app for that.
6 months and 25 days.
Not that you're counting.
So I think we let you know that that position was going to be advertised. I think it was advertised yesterday. All right. Any other questions from Ms. Nelson? All right. Mr. Osaki.
One item, which is actually, I think, very good news for the city. Statewide, there are two professional planning organizations. One's the American Planning Association. One's called the Planning Association of Washington. And even though there's sometimes some tension between the two organizations, what they do agree on is every year they sponsor an awards program for excellence in planning. And earlier this year, I worked with Bill Grimes and did this at there's no cost to the city. We worked on submitting the City of Monroe Commons plan for an award this year. And there's about 6 or 7 categories, and we were informed about a week ago that the City of Monroe was the winner in the public participation citizen involvement category. And I think we're very much impressed by the amount of upfront public involvement that went into the development of the plan and how that got honed into those 8 goals that kind of formed the basis of the comprehensive plan. And then especially, I think, she worked with the Planning Commission on the comprehensive plan as well. So just to give you an idea, last year in 2015, some of the winners in these different categories, City of Tacoma, City of Seattle, Shoreline, Lacey, Mukilteo, Yakima County, and Dolby was an honorable mention. So from Monroe to kind of get an award this year, I think it's a pretty strong statement about the work that went into the
Congress. Congratulations.
Oh, well done.
And so the recognition can kind of take a couple of different forms. One, there can be recognition at the statewide planning conference that's held later this month, but no one from Monroe's going. The other option, which I actually prefer, is that someone from the awards jury will come to the city council meeting, for example, and give recognition to the city council meeting, which I think is more appropriate because I've only been here for about a year, year and a half. I came in late in the process, but a lot of the people here, as well as you and the planning commission, were involved in that upfront public participation and involvement. So I'll be working to try to schedule a time when one of the individuals from the jury can come to a council meeting, and maybe we can invite the planning commission
and the Citizens Advisory Committee, too.
Sure, all that.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much. All right, any questions for Mr. Osaki? Do you have any reports for the DMA Chamber meeting from last week?
A little bit. It's our strategic planning consultant for the Main Street Project felt it was very, very important for the Chamber of Commerce and the Downtown Monroe Association, the two boards, to get together and to really begin to define the roles and what they can do to better work together. So there was about a 2-3 hour meeting between the two boards. My sense is that the consultant probably thought ended up his job as a little easier than he thought, because I think everyone came in and said, no, we know we need to work together. We know resources are limited. We know in order for each organization to be strong, that we have to work together and to communicate together. And I think that was kind of the message that came out of this. And again, the consultant is going to take all this and prepare a final report
that ultimately will culminate in a presentation to the city council. But he's going to draft that report, run it through this downtown stakeholder committee one last time, and then hopefully sometime either later this month or very early next month come to a council meeting and give you a report on its findings.
Thank you.
That's great.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Osaki. Mr. Feilberg.
You may have noticed that the paving is done on all the streets around town before they're no longer chewed up. Hopefully, if it does not this weekend too much, they will be, the county will be out to stripe the center line stripes and the edge lines on the street this weekend. And I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Feilberg? Councilmember Ketteback.
Oh, just a compliment, because I know the roadsides went up for Chain Lake Road, and it was said it was going to be worked on for like two days. They got that done in one day, which was much appreciated. And just driving around and seeing all the improvements and the paving and the sidewalks, it looks great. So.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, I agree. I was wondering if I noticed that it appears that a bunch of plants appeared at the roundabout by 5.2. Mm-hmm. We had contacted Snohomish County, so I was wondering if that's the case. And there's an update on that.
Yeah, so that was from the Department of Transportation.
Okay.
Mr. Farrell was filling me in on that earlier this evening. The Department of Transportation did have somebody come in and do some weeding and some weed whacking and things like that, and staff will be going out to meet with them later this week to go over a little bit more detail about intermediate and long-term maintenance of the roundabout, and also what is left in terms of planting. And so what I will be doing is following up with a thank you to the state and to our representatives and senator when it's done, and when we have a schedule. And at that point in time, we'll also share what that schedule is so that everybody knows that this is what's happening. And as I understand it, you had a similar meeting on this back in June. We thought that there was a meeting of the minds, and maybe something just fell through. Anything else, Mr. Farrell?
No.
Thanks for the briefing earlier. Anything further? Okay, cool. Councilmember Scarborough.
Somebody enlightened me on the email we got from the resident on,
154th, yes.
Can you let me just talk to me?
I was going to report out on that.
Okay.
Great.
Anything further?
That's it.
All right. We'll come on up here.
Mayor,
why don't you go ahead?
Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking about the Bromstead issue. Chief.
No, this evening.
You sure?
I'm positive.
But I really want to hear something. Any questions for Chief Quinzer? Okay. Go for it. Mr. Brazel.
Yeah, quick update. Council received an email from a concerned citizen off of 154th in regards to an opening or two and the DOT fence behind her property and some interactions that she's had with her neighbors. Staff has responded many times out there to that particular location. That includes the police department, our planning staff. After we received that particular email, the police chief and myself both responded up to the site and did a visual check of what was going on out there. We did realize that there is two openings in the DOT fencing and a new fence that was installed by their contractor recently, so they've been notified that that needs to be repaired. And then we will just keep an eye on the other situations. But at this point, this is done pretty well, all that we can do on that.
Yeah, and I want to be very clear on that email. I got that email on Friday, immediately contacted her and spoke with her. I saw in there it stated that the mayor has not contacted her or not responded at all. I have been in contact with her, was in contact with her, I think, back in June, July, and at that point in time, she requested that I review her file. She's been working with the city for about a year to a year and a half, maybe longer, about somebody that she says who is a neighbor living in an RV. Staff started taking enforcement action about that. The individual stated that they were not living in the RV, and then again, she followed up with me directly and asked me to review the file. After reviewing the file, I reached out to her, and she and I have been playing phone tag, but I was able to get a hold of her directly on Friday twice. The second phone call that I had with her, you know, they're both positive phone calls, and you know, I want to be very clear. I have been in contact with her, and staff has been working the issue for a couple of years now with her neighbor. So we will, if she emails me anything else or contacts me, I will, as I did before, follow up with staff. Anybody have any questions for me? Okay, how about staff? All right. Anything else to report out on? Okay. For me, last week was about putting together the final parts of the budget. You have in your inboxes the preliminary budget for 2017. A couple items to note in there that I just want to draw your attention to. One, as you all are aware, you're looking at the garbage contract to make some modifications there. There's money in the utility fund balance. You'll note that when you're reviewing your budget, your preliminary budget, that I have decided to follow the I have followed the policy for contingency, and so those funds are being put in contingency. So the budget that you see is one that has contingency fully funded. Council can elect, of course, to do something different with that, but I'm following the policy that the council adopted. The funds would be there next year if you decide to keep it in there. If anything comes up, any opportunities come up. There are a couple other items to note in there of interest. There's a line item for downtown furniture to update the furniture in the downtown, some maintenance in the downtown, some pressure washing of sidewalks, not of buildings, but of sidewalks. Some of the older sidewalks are really grimy, and some of the really contrast from the newer sidewalks. I opened up a conversation with Chief Quinzer back in August about doing something where we have an employee that is, or a contract with an entity that can help out people that are homeless, that are on the streets. So the chief was still working with potential partners last week, and as a result, that's not in the budget yet. If I figured that it was better for us to continue the conversation and come forward with a strategy and an you know, an honest to goodness plan, rather than just put a placeholder into the budget. So we may have some more conversation on that next week, or when the budget comes forward, when we talk about the budget a little bit more. And then we also have funds in there for doing a code rewrite next year for planning, and that's necessary to implement the comp plan. So those are just a couple of highlights, and we'll certainly get into the details of what's in there as we go forward, but that was a lot of last week and the week before for me. A couple items coming up this week. I am interviewing people for the Parks Advisory Board vacancy. I've got two people I'm interviewing there, and I'm interviewing one person for the Civil Service Board, I think, on Thursday. I've still got to confirm my calendar and then get back to you. There is a meeting tomorrow about 5:22 that is involving stakeholders at the county for a few hours. And do you have anything you want to report on that?
No.
Okay. Cool. And I think that gives you.
Can we get the address? I might be able to.
For the meeting?
For the stakeholders meeting? Yes.
Yeah, it's 3000 Rockefeller Avenue.
Oh,
it's at the county courthouse.
Okay.
Which one is it?
From 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Okay, thanks.
Is it in the council chambers?
No, and it's primarily just engineers at this point in time, focusing on the scope of work and that type of thing, and then the game plan would be to
after that, have our own public meeting here and have our legislators attend and really talk to citizens of Monroe and how where we're at and how it would affect them. So,
Councilmember Cutterback.
So is this a follow-up of the meeting we attended to really go out and get information, provide possible alternatives that they could do right now to solve some of the issues?
Correct.
They were going to come back with more information. So that's the point they're at now. So they're there with some of that. So they'll come to this meeting and talk about some of the information they found.
Yeah, and brainstorm. Is it be more technically discussed, and that's why I'm bringing our public works director with us, so he can get into the weeds on engineering and,
right.
and value engineering and that type of thing. So.
Okay.
Any other questions? Yeah, we've had some questions on Facebook about the meeting. It is a technical meeting, and we were insisting from the city perspective that there be a public meeting where we go over, you know, what the engineers have come up with and talk about alternatives and funding and all that other good stuff. Okay, anything else for me? All right, Gene.
Okay, bring us home.
Agenda for October 11th, 2016. Under announcements and presentations for the confirmation of Civil Service Commission and Park Board appointments. We have a consent agenda. Our new business will be looking at the 2017 budget presentation. Ordinance setting 2017 property tax levy. And then tentative ordinance amending garbage collection and disposal. I'm pretty confident that's going to get pushed out. I don't think we'll be ready. And then discussion of the municipal campus planning. Under final action, the ordinance regarding extension of the East Monroe interim zoning. Final reading. And then council member reports. Additions or deletions?
Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. Do we have anything for the agenda legislative? Anything for the
legislative committee?
Legislative committee next week? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to cancel it.
Thank you.
Don't.
I don't know.
Not that I don't enjoy hanging out with
you. Councilmember Gamble.
For the extended.
Yes.
November 1st, I will not be here, and we do have a Finance and Human Resource Committee meeting there, and we did cancel tonight, so I'm assuming we're going to need one around that time, yes or no?
Potentially. I'll circle back with Ben and see where we're at.
Okay.
I know he's in negotiations with several groups right now, so there's a good chance.
Okay. I just wanted to throw that out there because I think it's me. Yeah. If I mean, you can have it in my absence. I'd be willing to move it to the 25th or a week before or whatever if you want to do it. That's all. But I will not be here on the 1st.
Yeah. I'm open to moving it. To
okay.
It's staff and...
Look at the long-range agenda. I'll work with Attorney Lowell to change our ordinance to move from a two-year position to a four-year position. Potential to have it on the 18th, but for sure the 25th if that doesn't work. And then I'll have term limits ready to talk about on the 25th. And I'll work with staff to schedule bioswale discussion.
Any other additions or deletions to the agenda? Extended agenda. Okay. All right, there's no further business this evening on the agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Motion to adjourn. Second.
Okay, I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. Have a great evening. We're adjourned.
So, the last couple of months I've had some discussions with Zach.